Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click support. Good questions, better answers, issues, etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
I believe that the president is a citizen. I believe the president is a Christian. I'll take him at his word.
This bill will write into permanent law a policy on which there's been strong popular and congressional agreement for over 35 years. The federal government should not use tax dollars to support or promote elective abortion.
This legislation represents an entirely new front in the war against women and their families.
The church bigwigs of today probably wouldn't allow Paul to preach in any congregation. Weakness? Fear? Trembling? You've got to be kidding.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
Mom!
Everyone, of course, is gearing up for the 2012 presidential elections. That's just the reality of our political landscape nowadays. It starts this far back, and of course it already has. The party that has recently seen some victories in the midterm elections has its eye on the White House. Now, some within the GOP are saying that on issues social and moral, the GOP ought to back off a little bit. Just put those on the back burner for a while, maybe call a truce to gain some political ground. Is this good advice? Is this logical, even politically? Colin Carroll Campbell will join us here in a few minutes, live this Thursday afternoon, February the 17th, on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell on social conservatives in the GOP, Ken Samples will join us. We'll talk about just war. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
They had their, or are beginning to have, their big meetings and their powwows, if you will. Should social conservatives in the GOP call a truce, as you say, on social and moral issues in the culture to gain a little political ground, especially with the next presidential election approaching?
No, I don't think they do, and I think it would also not gain them much political ground. This truce idea was first floated by Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, used to be OMB director under under George W. Bush, and he floated that, I believe it was last fall, in an article with the an interview with the Weekly Standard. He said, you know, when we have this many fiscal problems, in order to get control and take care of them, we should call a truce on the social issues as conservatives. So whoever the next president would be, he said, should call a truce on issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, and the like. The problem, I think, with this is, and this was seconded by Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour and others within the party. The problem is, well, number one, the other side isn't calling a truce. And, you know, as social conservatives rightly point out, those who want to have, particularly on the issue of same-sex marriage, those who are pushing for it are the aggressors in this fight. So a truce, basically, I mean, unless both sides are going to call a truce, and we know that's not the case, a truce is really surrender. That's what it really is. But secondly, you know, these are actually winning issues for Republicans, and that's something that, unfortunately, Republican Party elites frequently forget. I think they certainly, you know, are tempted to forget it again. I think it was forgotten in 2008. President Barack Obama, when he was Senator Barack Obama, did not want to talk much about abortion in 2008, and neither did his supporters. They don't want to talk about it much in 2012 either, though now the economy is also kind of off the table in terms of a bragging point for Obama and his supporters, so it's going to be a tougher election for them. The reason they don't want to is, you know, Americans are trending more and more pro-life. 2009 Gallup poll found 51% of Americans now identify as pro-life as opposed to 42% as pro-choice. And you can see similar trends on other issues. When social issues are dominant in an election, the conservative generally does well when we're talking about a national presidential election. And that's something, for some reason, the GOP consistently tends to forget and often wants social conservatives to sort of get to the back of the bus, when actually sometimes it's social conservatives who are the last ones sticking with the party when others have abandoned it, because unfortunately they don't have a lot of other places to go, which is another problem. It'd be great if social conservatives could be a little pickier, but Democrats don't give them that option.
As you just said, I don't really understand the political logic in calling for a truce or some kind of detente on these social issues. It seems to me that that when these have been the issues in local elections, as you said, it's always been a winner. The last thing that the Democratic Party, social liberals, want to do is talk about these things. Can you get inside the mind of the more moderate Republican for us and explain why it is they would be calling for something that seems so politically counterproductive?
Well, I think the problem is we have a bit of an echo chamber when it comes to political pundits and party elites. You know, they're all talking to themselves on, you know, the cable news talk shows, and they're in circles where they're constantly hearing, mostly from other media elites who we know are overwhelmingly liberal, both in terms of their own views and then also, you know, the way they swing their campaign contributions. I believe in 2008, the Washington Examiner analysis found 88% of campaign contributions among America's print and broadcast media elites went to Obama and his fellow Democrats. So that's where that camp is coming from, and that's the group that constantly circulates this. So this is everything we tend to read in our mainstream media newspapers, everything we tend to see on our national cable news networks. Fox sometimes being an exception, not always as often as you would be led to believe from the, you know, the stereotype that Fox is all ultra-conservative. That's actually not always the case on these kinds of questions. So it's an echo chamber effect. And so this is sort of the conventional wisdom that's repeated over and over and over again until you believe it without a lot of evidence to back it up. Social issues are losers for Republicans. Everyone knows that conservatives are behind the time when it comes to issues like gay marriage and abortion. Everyone knows that if you emphasize those things, you're going to do poorly. The problem with what everyone knows is it's simply not true. Elections don't bear it out. Polling doesn't bear it out. You know, you want to know if the Republicans should cast themselves as more middle of the road. Look at the 2009 Gallup poll that found 4 in 10 Americans now say that they are conservative, and only 2 in 10 say they are liberal. And a similar Gallup poll same year found that for every 1 American who said his political moves views were drifting leftward, 2 more said they're moving to the right. This is a center-right nation. Now, we fluctuate a little election to election. Certainly, a lot of pro-lifers wish Americans were more conservative or at least more vigilant on the issue of abortion. But the fact is that the Americans aren't generally, you know, comfortable. American voters are not comfortable with a socially liberal agenda. So when liberals tend to win the presidency, it's usually by touting a bipartisan message, which is what Barack Obama did in 2008, or sort of trying to shove social issues to the side, which is what Bill Clinton successfully did in 92 and 96. So the problem here is that we're not looking at evidence. We're sort of, I think this is sort of a case of the chattering classes telling themselves something over and over until it's accepted as gospel truth, even though there's really very little evidence for it.
Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who's been a guest on this program, kind of presented the face of the Tea Party after the State of the Union address. Mostly the message was on the economy. On the Tea Party front, is that movement necessarily socially and morally conservative? We know that it's fiscally conservative.
Well, I think that's still something people are trying to sort out. I know Bachmann, in her CPAC speech this last weekend, said there's a lot of overlap between, for instance, the pro-life groups and the fiscal conservatives in the Tea Party, and that even though that's not the rallying cry, that is social issues for the Tea Partiers, it's something that many of them take for granted, and they're on board with it. And, you know, I think it's certainly true we can't cast the Tea Party as some sort of social issues movement that just kind of tacks on the fiscal conservatism. Obviously, it's the other way around. But if you really dig deeply, these are people for whom the social issues often also resonate, or they're people who are focused enough on the fiscal conservatism that a social conservative who has the right fiscal conservative principles isn't going to turn them off. Meanwhile, there are a lot of social conservatives who would stay home if they feel that their issues are not being recognized and there's a candidate they really can't rally behind. So it really is, I think, win-win for the Republican Party to have a fiscal and social conservative. I'd certainly agreed going into the next election, social issues are not the key issue. Obviously, we all know it's the economy. But why alienate that huge plank of your party that really wants to be excited about a nominee and wants someone who will sort of be a standard bearer? Why would you do that? It's shooting yourself in the foot. And unfortunately, I think that's what the nomination of John McCain was in 2008. It was, you know, someone who votes pro-life but was very careful not to really talk about it much, didn't mention marriage much at all, at least in his earlier parts of his career, and was generally known as a maverick. So he got lots of good media attention, but of course the minute he became the nominee, all of that evaporated, and that's another thing that Republican elites, I think, need to remember. If they're looking for a moderate or a maverick to sort of win the media praise, they've got to remember that never lasts past primary season for your typical conservative.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and a columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thanks.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, February the 17th, Ken Sample is going to be with us for the next, well, for the remainder of this hour. We're going to be talking about just war. It is not always the best understood legacy of Christian history, but it is one that is quite ancient. We'll talk about the Christian theories of just war, take them apart, and apply them to our situation today. Ken Sample of Reasons to Believe will be our guest.
I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click support. Good questions, better answers, issues, etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.